It says we're recording.
All right. I'm going to call the meeting to order. This is Commissioner Brad Holton. Present is Commissioner Van Beek. Absent is Commissioner Brooks. It is about 2:39. And so with that, present is legal counsel Zach Westlake, and we'll let him start the meeting.
Good afternoon. So we're here today. The question was posed earlier this week on Tuesday. A citizen was in a meeting with Commissioner Van Beek. Not in this public meeting room, I don't believe, but back in Commissioner Van Beek's office. Chairman Holton happened by and got called in. And then a discussion occurred about a case that has been decided in December, so by the prior board majority. And we had a request for reconsideration on it, and now it's in that time period where the applicant or an opponent of the project could still seek judicial review on it. So it is still technically active in the way we think about it in the county. It wouldn't be, you know, done and done. And these things rarely are done completely, these land use applications, because there's so many different steps. I mean, you've got to basically be all the way through platting to be really done with a rezone on a subdivision. So the question was posed, what is the ramification of that incidental meeting that occurred? So I wanted to sort of walk you through that, and then we can talk about if corrective action is necessary and what that would look like. So, as you know, Idaho's open meeting law requires two members of a governing body. In this case, it would be a quorum of the Board of County Commissioners to meet in open. And there are requirements for an agenda, which the board keeps, and you have regularly scheduled meetings every day. Meeting on a particular topic goes on your agenda under the special meeting rules. And that's a 48-hour notice to have a meeting. And that meeting, we need to take notes on it. And it needs to be, take minutes, I should say, not notes. And it needs to be open to the public. So that is sort of the framework here. We've got two commissioners with a citizen who's talking about an issue that the board may deliberate on in the future. Do we have a quorum? Do we have a meeting that's occurred? And if so, what do we do about it? So the other, I think, threshold issue is not every impromptu discussion becomes a meeting. And that's generally, we consider it a meeting when there's a decision or deliberation. And so this one, though, would potentially be a deliberation, because that is defined by Idaho Code 74-2022 as the receipt or exchange of information or opinion relating to a decision. It excludes information or impromptu discussions of a general nature which do not specifically relate to the matter then pending before the public agency for a decision. This one doesn't have an immediate action item that's pending for the board. But it is sort of stuck in that land use cycle where there are so many potential next steps on these things, from judicial review to platting, that there's almost always something coming down the line at some point. So likely did qualify as something that would need to be a conversation that would need to be held in the public and at an agendized meeting with minutes. So from there, the Idaho Code does have a policy for the corrective actions, and that's in Title 74 again, Chapter 208, Part 7. That's a violation may be cured by the agency upon the agency's self-recognition of a violation. And so that first step would be just a motion from the board I think a disclosure of the conversation that was had and what the conversation was and what the information you received would be appropriate in that. And then a motion, self-recognition motion that the step occurred. And that's a curative measure. The secondary step to that would be to have a declaration that all actions taken at or resulting from that meeting in violation of the act would be void. In this case, my understanding, there was just information exchanged. There is no official action that is contemplated or planned at this point. There's nothing immediately scheduled. The next phase of this would be judicial review and then platting. All of those will have their own separate noticed hearings for the platting anyway. And we'd have separate agendized decision points on the judicial review as well. And so there's probably not need for a declaration declaring any actions void at this point. And so I think probably we would be complete in this, in the cure, by this disclosure and self-recognition step.
Chairman.
Yes.
And Zach, thank you. I think that's a wonderful recap of the legal part of that. And the disclosure on this visit was unsolicited. I had no idea that they were coming to the office. I'm a commissioner that, believing I served the public, when there was a request to meet, I didn't know the nature. She did come back. She had some specified questions, which have been answered numerous times, as we've put on record by our legal staff. You've been fronting that and responding to those requests from her. That's also been responded to by our Development Services Department. So one of the questions that she had, which has been answered, what's the number of days that by statute they have to issue FCOs? And it's 30. But we also put on the record on Tuesday that FCOs were not issued because this was a decision that was overturned. We overturned a planning and zoning decision. So in that, it requires a second hearing. There was a length of time that passed in that, which is a one-off. It's an unorthodox length of time in that discussion. And so on the December 21st hearing, we did look at the minutes for that. The other question she asked, was there new information that the board reviewed? And the answer would be yes, because there were approximately 30 late exhibits that were provided to the board. We've had meetings with Development Services since that time, and their statement on the record is that Idaho Department of Water Resources and the Department of Environmental Quality were not able to substantiate the claims of dry wells. So there's a fundamental misunderstanding on the part, perhaps, of the applicant on what that means. And so that information, which was evaluated by two members of the commission, I was out for a surgery, was information they took and were able to find positive findings, and therefore that decision moved forward. In the interest of transparency, that was a complaint we heard, but those guidelines are for reconsideration are clearly outlined under Idaho State statute and are on the Idaho State website. She has been provided with that information. Why were FCOs not provided again is because that second hearing, they weren't issued until that second hearing came out. I did tell her that I would have a limited ability to respond to questions, so there was no commitment when Commissioner Holton came by. It was an inadvertent, and this citizen is a wanting to be informed and wanting to understand the process, so it was easy to draw him in to that conversation, and he was good at just indicating this was a decision that was a previous board operating under those guidelines, and that's the decision that they made. So there was nothing new and there was nothing promised in that. Again, legal and our development services staff have provided the answers to the questions that she posed to us, and we reiterated and stated those again for the record. I'm not quite sure there is a legal cost to filing a reconsideration. And the statement again is that the county is not responsible for costs for retained outside legal counsel, and that it would be inappropriate to guide anyone in that process. That onus falls clearly to the applicant seeking reconsideration. So with all of that information on the record, again, it was a meeting that caught people by surprise. As a courtesy, we listened to her concerns And the response to those questions, I think, has been given. It may not be always that people like the answer that's given, but to give well-reasoned, legally researched responses is, in an unbiased and professional manner, is the responsibility of the Board of County Commissioners. And I believe that that's the job that we did. Thank you.
Commissioner Van Veek, just for clarity of the record we're making today, the underlying matter is a subdivision called Taylor Jean.
Yes.
And it's our internal case numbers RZ 2020-19 and SD 2020-35.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for that. It also goes by the name Fatera
Estates, and I think it's also at some point been referred to as the Valley View.
Yes, number four.
Yep.
Got case number four.
A lot of names.
And you
met with a citizen, and that was Kim Yaneko?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Tuesday, which would be March
28th.
Yes.
And at approximately what time?
Maybe
12:30, 12:45.
Yeah.
And her husband was present also.
Okay.
Yes. And then Commissioner Holton indicated he had a meeting he needed to attend. I also had prior commitments, and so Commissioner Holton indicated we had gone as far as we could to answer those questions, and the meeting dissolved.
Yeah. And the only thing that I represented is that she raised good questions that I would try to look into. And looking into that, some of her arguments are, in my unlegal opinion, are incorrectly assumed. And that one of the big heartaches that she has is on the FCOs. But in the August meeting, they didn't come back with FCOs because they changed their application, which required, they went against the P&Z decision, which required a second public hearing, which occurred in December. So there was no FCOs to be put out between August and December. And I think that is one of what I understood that she was asking me that I didn't know the answer was one of the big heartaches that she has. Well, it's illogical for there to be any FCOs between August and the meeting in December because you were meeting on a different subject. You had changed the decision. You had gone against the decision of the P&Z, which required either send it back to P&Z or create a whole new public hearing that you could have input on. And so,
and Chairman,
that answered my question, which I didn't know, but I didn't represent anything that I would do other than try to figure out what her concerns were and where we were at with that.
And to add to your record, it was August of 21 and December of 22. So
Thank you.
More than a year had passed, which is the part that is unorthodox in that kind of a decision. Normally you would not have that wait time, but the applicant did revise his application. And Chairman, I think it's safe to say under your tenured leadership in government and your land use experience with the City of Greenleaf, the Development Services Department would now make a recommendation on a substantial material change like that would be remanded back, but that's not the guidelines that they were operating under at that time. That board chose to accept those late exhibits. So I think there's a different posture, which is fair to say, and we tried to explain, but we can't do anything about that. I wasn't present for that. It was admissible at that time. There's been some leadership change, and I believe that our leadership now has a very good understanding with her background and tenure, and we're working with planning and zoning to look at those. But again, that was decisioned under that board, which there was nothing not defensible about the decision that they made. It's just the decision that they made at that time.
So I think the bottom line is that, unfortunately, I got caught in a place that I was just walking past to talk to the COO,
right,
and trying to be respectful and you know, I like both of them, and they're living in a period of angst about this, and you hate to see that in any of your constituents, and so in looking at it in the rearview mirror, I probably wouldn't conduct myself that way because already they were with Commissioner Van Beek, even though they called me in, I'd probably best excuse myself and keep walking to the COO's office is a much safer place. And I don't think Kim was trying to be adversarial or anything at the time either. I don't see it as that.
Right. So, Chairman, I wanted to say too that the board that I, having sat through the initial hearings on that, am not unsympathetic, having sat through the testimony of the boots on the ground. So it was explained that a dry well, because we had the Treasure Valley Partnership, Dennis Alsley was here at that time, and he indicated that a dry well is very different than a misconstructed well, or a well that has a pump that's not sufficient for the depth to groundwater. And so that's where the findings, even though there are complaints that are legitimate for testing during irrigation seasons and the depth and the no denying that people have had to reinstall wells out there. But we asked for clarification. That clarification was provided, and it did not rise to the level of being able to say that that was a dry area. So, again, that's not information that I have the ability to go back and decision on. That information was given to the commissioners that decisioned that, and they that deliberation on those comments is found in the minutes for that December 21st hearing.
Thank you both for your candor today and for raising this. As an attorney for the county, it's always nice to have the board bring these issues to us, and your willingness to recognize that some procedural error occurred and that you want to take steps to correct it. I appreciate that very much. So we do have this notice for an action item. Like I said, just a motion to of self-recognition that a open meeting law violation occurred on this March 28th date in this informal meeting. And I think that's the only thing we need to do for a curative measure on this.
Okay.
And now I'll attempt this, Zach, and so if I need to amend that in any way. But Chairman, I move that the Board of County Commissioners acknowledge for the referenced case and subdivision number that there was potentially an open meeting violation, which is cured by this process today and disclosure of the conversation and the content between the board and Kim Unesco, unintentional on both parts, a citizen seeking answers, the commissioners reiterating what's already been stated by Legal and Development Services staff, with no promise that there would be any part on the county other than to field the questions, which I have done. I took note of what she wanted, and I've put those back on the record today. It's open and available, but again, that's been provided several times by our legal counsel, as well as development services.
That's the longest motion I've seen. Okay, and was that sufficient?
Yes, the acknowledgement of a potential violation, that language will be sufficient.
Okay, with that, I would second that motion. And if there's no other further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries. All right. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
I don't have any other business, and you need a 3 o'clock meeting, so
I do, yeah.
We will be adjourned.
We gave you 3 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minutes.